Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzek, and as we have been announcing the last several days, we have a call-in show today with regards to gardening, and the topic in particular is seeds, purchasing them, propagating them, and I guess all things seeds. Joining me this morning, we have Loanne Swanson and CJ David Schofer. Got that right? Okay, great. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so again, we're talking about seeds specifically today, and I guess is now the time to be ordering your seeds, getting your seeds, getting things together?
Oh, yeah, I think this is a perfect time, and is a great time to get a lot of different seeds started, too, as soon as you can get them in the ground.
Now, is this something you're starting outdoors, indoors? You said get them in the ground.
Oh, that was not really correct. No, I'm thinking of planting them in a protected area.
And is this something you would need a greenhouse at this time right now, or how would you go about, I guess, planting your seeds this time of year?
You could do them in your house. You could do them in your house as long as you have some kind of supplemental lighting, which is usually fluorescent lights. Either a T8 or a T5 light would definitely work.
And are these available locally, easily?
Yeah, definitely.
Acquired?
Yeah, just a simple fluorescent light with a 4-foot bulb. You know, like at home, I have a 4 T8 lights. So it's a set of 4 lights that are fluorescent, stacked on top of each other. Just
what does
like your
T8
overhead.
Mean?
It's just the size of the bulb.
Okay.
And so a T8 is a really small bulb, versus a T5, like your overhead lights here, is a slightly bigger diameter. But a T8 or a T5 would work just fine.
And now is the time you're looking for seeds. What are some sources of seeds? Where do you go to get your seeds? Now, you specifically probably have your favorites. I know there's lots, I guess, of options out there. What do you, Loanne, specifically look for in the types of seeds you select?
Oh, the type I select, actually, I go first for organic and also heirloom. And if I can't find something that I really want in either of those categories, I'll buy whatever's available. There are lots of great mail order places, but you can also buy seeds in town at several places. And I believe the seeds are probably out on the shelves now. I haven't really looked in town.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I'm ordering from the catalog right now for things that I could not buy in town. Types of seeds.
And I'm guessing you're mostly doing vegetables and mm-hmm. things as opposed to flowers. Or do you do both?
I do both. But right now, primarily, I'm just focusing on vegetables. The things I like to start early. I just, onions, both CJ and I have just planted onions. Mm-hmm. I have some early flowers that I wanted for some of the gardens I do in town. And things that take a long time to germinate and a long time to mature.
What are some, maybe mention some of those, what are some of the things that take a long time to germinate and mature and you should be starting now?
Well, the perfect one is the onion, like a good storage onion. And so that's an onion that, grows a nice bulb you buy and you slice up for sandwiches and stuff like that. But they're pretty slow growing, so typically if you were going to grow them from seed, you'd start in January. And you would grow those and then harvest them July, August time. If you were to buy sets, which are the little onions you see at the store, you could plant those in May, and those would give you, onions. But I have kind of a personal preference with the sets is they tend to go to seed really quickly because they're grown from last year's growth. And so if they're not in the right conditions, they tend to go to seed.
So is that almost like a bulb? It's sort of like
exactly
planting, and
like
then it will get bigger,
exactly.
And so you'll have a large onion.
Definitely.
Okay.
And if you're going to grow from sets, then the idea is you want to find the smallest sets in that package, and those are the ones you want to get and plant into your garden. But the biggest ones will tend to bolt pretty easily.
So you won't actually get a real onion then.
Yeah, you'll just get a flower and some seeds.
More of a flower, yeah.
Let's speak about onions. Are there particular, I don't know if it's called types of or varieties of, that you have found work well here? Are there certain things you've had successes with? Or Is an onion, I guess?
Well, there's the two main different ones is a long day and a short day onion. And of course, we'll do the long days here because we have long days in Alaska here. So anything short day is typically for, you know, equatorial, you know, southern Texas kind of stuff, where they have a day length of, you know, more than 14 or 15 hours in the peak. And that basically is just helping it initiate that bulb cycle. And so when the day gets long enough, you'll actually start to form a bulb. But if it's the wrong type, if it's a short day, you might start forming a bulb early or you might go to seed. And the seed catalogs will tell you that.
We also have a fairly short growing season, correct? So unless you depending on, I guess, the length that it takes for length of time it takes for something to mature, either you're going to have to start it indoors early for that time frame, correct? Does that make sense, my question?
I think so. Even though we have very long days, I think we have a relatively short growing season just because of the frost on either end. But before we get, I wanted to mention, too, I think this is the perfect time to start tomato plants inside.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, that's another thing that I'm planning on getting. I have some seeds right now, and I'll probably be planting them either today or tomorrow inside. So.
And again, just are there specific types of tomatoes or types of things that work, you know, better? Because there's so many, there's hundreds of choices. Yeah. How do you decide, or is it kind of talking to other gardeners what they have success with, or have you yourself just found certain tomatoes varieties work well here?
Well, Maria, I think for me personally, it's a taste thing. And also what actually ripens and produces well. I mean, those are the my criteria. Do they ripen in time here? Even though actually you can take, for example, a cherry tomato or any tomato, and if it begins to freeze outside, you can pull it up out of the ground, shake the dirt off, hang it upside down, and you'll be eating ripe tomatoes at Christmas. You know, see, there are lots of things you can do with those things that if they don't get ripe enough in time. But no, I like well, my favorite cherry tomatoes are the Sun Gold. They're just unreal. They're so sweet. They're so good. And I have a couple of other favorites of the red tomatoes. And then they're determinate and indeterminate, and it really depends, in a way, it depends on your growing space, because the indeterminate grow very tall, and so you have to stake them, and the determinate are more of a bush. So I think it depends on how much space you have. I do have something else in mind that I really want to mention. I don't know how much time we have to talk here, but a few years ago, a fellow gardener here in town turned me on to using propagation mix for starting seeds. And she joked with me and said, well, Loanne, that potting soil that you're using is like having boulders and planting those little tiny seeds with boulders. And I'd never used the propagation mix before, and now I just am totally smitten with it. It's just wonderful. And I imagine it's available in town. I usually order things out of town, but because I have a business, so I order quantity. But it may be available in town, and I would highly recommend people looking for that to use as a planting.
And what are there different types of propagation?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I tend to use organic. Mm-hmm. And I think that what makes the propagation mix that I use organic is there's a wetting agent that they put in all the potting soils, and what they use is considered organic. So you could be a certified organic gardener if you use that.
Okay, we mentioned onions, we mentioned tomatoes. Are there other, I guess, surefire winners in Southeast, things that grow here well that people should consider trying?
Oh, golly.
Tons of stuff.
There's hardly anything you can't grow, almost.
Yeah, lettuces, bunching onions, chives, carrots, beets.
Garlic.
Garlic, tons of garlic.
Tons of garlic.
My favorite. And that's already planted this year. Usually you plant your garlic in the fall.
In the fall, yeah.
And then winter's over. So just like a tulip or a daffodil would be planted.
And I know people say zucchini grows really well mm-hmm. here. Zucchinis, yep. Cucumbers.
Celery, yep. Fennel.
Basil grows great in the greenhouse.
A lot of perennials, your rosemary and your oreganos. Lots of fruiting stuff. You know, blackberries, raspberries, currants, gooseberries, apples,
cherries, strawberries.
it's pretty much an open market forever, whatever soft fruit you really want, you know, except for your peaches and your apricots you probably couldn't grow. but, yeah, there's lots of choices. Mm-hmm. So,
And so are there things you mentioned, getting a propagating mix to start your seeds? Are there any things, and you also mentioned lighting, uh-huh. are there any other considerations you should think about when you are starting your seeds?
Well, let's see. From my end, I have a setup at home in the greenhouse with what are called propagation mats, and you can set the temperature on the mat to be basically whatever you want. I think some seeds prefer some warmth. Now, not all things. I think the onions actually prefer a cooler. Mm-hmm. But most seeds do want a bit of warmth. So if you have any way to create that. The other thing is having good drainage. Don't let things soak and be soaking wet all the time. You want to make sure that the soil, whatever you're using, that it has good drainage.
And should you keep them moist as they're developing, or do you let them dry out? How do you tend to them?
I tend to keep them moist. CJ, what do?
No, definitely keep them moist. Uh-huh. I kind of think of them as little babies, you know. And so babies don't like crazy interactions of temperature and water and humidity. And so you end up having to baby them along. But if you can baby them along for, you know, 6 weeks or 7 weeks, then when you plant them out, they're just going to take off for you. And so it's, you know, just monitoring your light, your heat, and your moisture, and trying to keep them in an ideal state, you know, the whole time. One thing I kind of have a problem with, because I don't have a greenhouse yet, is I, you know, do all my seeds inside, and I keep my light about 3 inches from my seed tray. And the reason for that is when they pop up, they don't get leggy. And then also, if you don't have a heat mat, that additional light on that fluorescent will actually heat your flat for you. And one of my big problems actually is having too much heat on my seedlings because of the fluorescent light, and I'm in the house. My big thing is having, you know, some kind of fluorescent lighting. Definitely have some kind of heat. To start the germination of the seeds, and then have some kind of thermometer to where when you're growing and you're adjusting your light levels to your plants as far as how far they are from the light, the soil temperature could definitely have a lot of variance to it. So if you're really close to your lights, your soil temperature could be 80, 85 degrees. But if you're 3 or 4 inches away, you know, you can be down to 70 or 65. And you really don't want your plants, you know, at 80, 85 degree soil temperatures. You really want to keep them about 70, 75 degrees.
And are you putting the thermometer in the soil itself?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought of something else that is really important, which is air movement. And I have in my greenhouse, I have 2 fans, one on either end. That greenhouse is about, I think, 20 feet long. And I have 2 fans that run 24/7. Because you don't want to have stagnant air. You want to have some good airflow, and that keeps down on all sorts of things, probably like mold and all sorts of things like
definitely.
That.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
And also one more thing, I bottom water as much as I can, meaning I put the water in a tray underneath the seedlings and let them draw up the water. I don't let them sit in water indefinitely, but I that's how I tend to bottom water. How I tend to water.
As opposed to watering from the top.
Mm-hmm. You can water from the top, but I've had some issues with that, with stuff on the top of the soil. You know, and I don't know if that's what caused it, but I like to bottom water. So
seeds come in all sizes, and mm-hmm. some are tiny, tiny, tiny. Are there, I'm guessing, in your trays, and you have the little sections in the tray, you're planting several seeds per slot, so to speak, and then thinning? Is that the norm, or how do you deal with it? Does it depend on the plant?
Well, I think it depends on the seeds, I suppose. But I use, I've just recently gotten four packs, and I might plant, depending on if the seed is fresh, like I tend to use old seeds sometimes, but I might plant four seeds per cell, but then I thin and keep the toughest, the healthiest looking plant.
And how do you thin? Because I've been told you should clip them as opposed to like pull them out because you can disturb the soil. Is there a best way to do it? Or
I bet you anything there are about 152,000 ways of doing it. I guess that it's time to be honest about stuff. I tend to plant, say, four seeds per cell, and I take three plants out by pulling them carefully and laying them down on a plate with dirt in it, and I might transplant them. But then I'm kind of like that, I guess. You don't. A lot of people just would compost them or eat them.
Mm-hmm.
You could also eat them.
And I guess if you can transplant them and are successful, mm-hmm. it's worth a go.
Yeah, you just end up with a whole bunch of plants. Yeah.
And I do want to remind folks, we have about, say, 15 minutes left available in the show. If you have questions, you can give us a call or maybe some tips, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Again, specifically today, we are talking about seeds and propagating them, and all things seeds. So, again, if you have questions or comments, please give us a call. 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And do both of you just plant the seeds in there, or do you ever use seed tape or create your own seed tape? I know for a lot of little tiny seeds, people make a seed tape.
I actually did that one year. I think the Ketchikan Garden Club had a little workshop with doing that. Makes it easier for the tiny seeds. I do not make my own. I think about it. But tiny seeds, like, for example, carrot seeds, are tough to plant. I think you have to be very patient. And so I don't...
I've never used seed tape before. Haven't
you?
Yeah, I've always kind of liked the peaceful time of planting your flat, you know, inside mm-hmm. and kind of thinking about what's going to happen this summer, and uh-huh. and kind of giving a little positive wish of what's in it that's actually going to grow, you know. So I enjoy that time, and so I'm pretty nitpicky about when I put my seeds in, and I put one in each cell, uh-huh. you know.
Sit there with the tweezers. And
Exactly.
Golly.
Yeah. You know, if it takes me a half an hour to plant a flat, well, that's okay. I mean, it's going to give me several months of rewards for the rest of the summer, so a half an hour is nothing to me, you know, as far as what I want to do with my plants.
A lot of the catalogs, again, there are a lot of catalogs out there. There are the local nurseries here. There are various businesses here that sell seeds. And I imagine a lot of that information sort of depends on the brand and the type, but oftentimes they have a lot of information about how to plant those seeds, mm-hmm. When and where. And so are you looking for a particular company? I mean, are some better than other? How do you find out which seeds are best for you, if that makes sense?
I think a lot of that is word of mouth. You know, you have a friend who's a gardener, and they say, oh, gosh, you just have to try this lettuce.
Definitely.
It's fabulous. And, well, people like Jeannie Blackmore and Pat Haley, who were these unbelievable gardeners here and just moved away this year, but they were just a wealth of knowledge about the best plants that they had found, seeds that they had found for this climate. So anybody who gardens here eventually finds their favorites and what works best for them, I think.
There are some things that you can transplant, and other things I hear it's best to plant them in place and mm-hmm. leave them be. What are some of the things that best to just plant them and leave them alone?
Well, one of the first things that I would say is would be carrots. And CJ and I were just talking about zucchini because I had some challenges of, for a couple of years, transplanting zucchini. So he was giving me some tips.
I think, you know, you're talking about seed size and seed diameter. A really good general rule is, you know, if you have a giant seed, like a squash seed or a zucchini seed, well, any seed really, is you always want to plant twice the depth of the diameter of the seed. And so if you have a giant seed, you're obviously going to be planting it pretty deep, versus a really tiny seed, you'll just probably sprinkle on the top and maybe put a little light soil dressing on top, and that's all you really need to do. So the smaller the seed, they tend to do better germination by light, because they need a little light penetration to get on the seed and to get it going, versus like a big squash seed, you know, you tend to just soak it or water it when you need to, and then you just stick it down in the hole and it does its thing. But one thing I think Loanne might have had a problem with is you also want the same pot size, you know. So if you have a really small seed, then you can get by with going in a smaller pot. But if you have a pretty big squash seed, you know, it's already planted deep in your pot and it has to come up. And then also has to bring out its taproot. And you don't want that taproot to sit there and wind around the bottom right in the beginning, especially. So what I was telling Loanne is maybe stick to like a 1 gallon or a 1/2 gallon pot, something a lot smaller than, or a lot bigger than a 2-inch. That way the plant has time to actually fully germinate and develop kind of in its own little space, you know, versus being cramped. It's like living in an apartment versus a house, you know. So if you're a big guy, you want a bigger place. That's how I kind of think of it. And I guess the other big thing, though, would be is when you plant your big seeds, plant it so you're not just putting it flat on, you know, if you pour a whole bunch of seeds out on the table here, they're all going to be laying flat. Does that make sense? If you were to lay it vertically and put it in, it has a lot less chance of molding, especially if you overwater it. Because what happens is the water sits right on top of your seed there.
Oh, interesting.
And then you have a lot less germination rate that way. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that the seed is moist, but not too moist again. And by doing that, by keeping it vertically, it has time for that water to drain off the sides inside the pot.
Oh, how interesting. I never thought of that.
Okay, and we do have a caller on the line. And Lee has a question about lettuce. Hello, Lee. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead.
I just want the kinds of lettuce that are going to do best, like in a salad bowl situation, where you put a whole bunch of different seeds in one container. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Did you have okay. Or you're just making that comment, or you had a question?
No. In the past, I purchased different kinds of lettuce and mixed them together, and they just don't mature at the same time. And so I'm wondering what would be the best to put in a situation like that? Am I not making sense?
Yeah, I think you're making sense, Lee. I think I'm not sure how you harvest your lettuce. But what I do, when I make a salad, I'm probably have 6 or 8 kinds of lettuce and assorted other greens in it out of the garden. I just pick a few leaves off of each plant. And so it doesn't matter so much what state they're at in terms of maturity.
I think what she's talking about is what's called a salad bowl lettuce garden. So oh, it's basically a bowl.
Yeah.
Is that correctly?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
it's trying to put all these different types of lettuces together so they mature at the same time.
Okay.
And so that, I don't know what Lee was doing there, but I think if you just go to the catalogs and find a specific mix, you know, where it's a salad bowl mix or a microgreens mix, instead of taking several different types of lettuce and mixing it together in a bowl and then sprinkling it to wherever you want to garden on. When you have a mix, they tend to all tend to mature right around that same time.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Versus, you know, if you took a whole bunch of black-eyed Simpson seeds and your orach, and you mm-hmm. just kind of put it all on then your mustards. Well, those all germinate at different rates and at different times, and those seed packages that are mixed together, they all tend to germinate and grow right about the same rate, and so you're not clogging. One's getting giant while the other one's getting really small. So I would just recommend just buying a specific microgreens mix or a salad bowl mix. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other question, Lee?
I do. I raise cilantro, but it always gets so leggy. What do I do to keep it more like a bush than a tree?
It depends on where you are, how much light you're getting, what kind of heat you're getting. I don't know exactly where you're growing or what kind of environment you're in. They tend to go to seed very quickly, especially here. You get a little bit of heat on them, a little bit of sun, and they tend to bolt just like the dill does. You know, it just goes sky high.
Okay. I can move them from a window to farther away under a grow light, so that's not an issue. So, yeah, that answers my question. Keep it cooler than warmer.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I've grown cilantro, and definitely that it just, you know, goes. So can you keep clipping cilantro back, or it'll just go? I mean,
you can keep clipping it back. But its tendency is to, you know, it wants to make that seed
go to coriander.
Exactly.
Right.
And so once you kind of get to a certain point, there's like a tipping point, you know, that, once you kind of see that first sprout come up and head for the sky, if you clip it, it tend to just want to put up one shoot and go again. But if you have a time where you haven't seen that seed head form, go ahead and do as much picking as you can right then. As soon as that seed head forms, just let it go to seed and then just harvest the seed from that.
Time to harvest.
Exactly.
Time to harvest.
Yeah.
But if you keep it cooler, You were saying it lasts a bit longer, like it won't go to seed as
definitely.
Quickly.
Definitely. If you can maybe put it in a spot where it's, you know, getting morning sun and not so much afternoon sun. At least in my garden, you know, I have the peak of summer. I get sun all day, you know, from 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning until, you know, 7 or 8 at night. Soon as my plant got to mature size, it went straight up and it went 5.5 feet tall. It's that seed. And so I just kind of left it there and harvested the seed. So it's a timing thing. And something that you can only kind of figure out once you kind of grow for a couple seasons and you kind of like, okay, I don't really want to have it here because it went to seed too quickly here. So let's maybe stick it into the shade a little more and see how that works. And so you kind of have to find your own little micro environments inside your garden. Mm-hmm. You know.
And for something like cilantro, you wouldn't grow that in a main garden, right? It needs to be protected, doesn't it? Or does the rain beat upon it and it does well?
I think it grows fine outside.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine does fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just certain things that I've always heard don't put them, because of all the rain, it just batters them down. But good to know on that one.
Yeah.
What about basil, though? That one's a toughie, isn't it?
Basil, I only grow it in the house, although this last summer I moved them out. On nice days, I'd move all the flats out. I grow a lot of basil. I think growing it in the greenhouse is best. I don't know that you could grow basil outside here.
I did grow basil outside this year. and it was that little bush type that was...
Oh, right, yeah.
Kind of the globe one.
Yep.
And I think... You know, one trick that I kind of have noticed about here is, you know, you want to get your soil well-drained, and you want to get that water evaporated off your soil as quickly as possible, especially for those, you know, those basils where if, you know, they're sitting in water or there's lots of water on top, which is probably one reason why you bottom water in your greenhouse is probably specifically for that basil because when you start watering on top, they get cold. And then they tend to get a whole bunch of fungal problems from that. And I think one thing is somebody told me that don't ever water your basil at night. So right before you turn off your lights, you know, wait till the morning. And then that way it has a chance to warm up. The soil warms up, and it has a better chance. But as far as me growing my basil, my big thing with the basil is the mulch. And so I use some kind of rock mulch, and that's just, you know, basically a 2 to 3 inch layer of river rock or sand, or not so much sand, but like a coarse rock. Something that the first thing when the sun comes out, that soil on the top of the level is dry and it's soaking up heat as the sun comes up. And that tends to, at least for me, it tends to help with a lot of the fungal problems. Especially in the lower leaves, as the plant gets bigger, they tend to get shaded out. They don't get as much light. And so having that mulch out there tends to warm the soil and dry it out quickly.
Okay, and we're running out of time, but we have a couple of callers with some questions. Nancy joins us. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I just want to tell you about something that I learned by accident. My friend got some organic, it's either basil or another thing, but I didn't know what to do with them. I mean, I didn't need them at the time. I put them in, they were organic. I put them in water just to try to preserve them as long as possible, and they rooted. They rooted in the water, and I planted them outside, and they just grew beautifully.
Whoa. So it was just sort of some cut stems of something that you rooted?
Yes, the stems in the water that I put them in. I just, one day I looked, and I said, they're growing roots. And so that's one way, like when you buy a bunch of organic lettuce or you know, herbs or whatever, and you don't know what to do with the leftovers, put them in the water, and chances are they'll root.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Isn't that great?
So you don't have to throw anything away.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And okay, great. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Welcome.
And they, I have seen that where people have just taken the little lettuce nub and planted it in dirt and get a head of lettuce.
Definitely. My favorite one is the green onion.
Yeah.
You know, you have the green onion when you buy it in the store. It still has a little bit of roots on the white end there. Go ahead and use your green onion as well. And when you cut off the little roots, go ahead and replant those.
Wow, okay.
And they'll regrow, and they regrow really well.
All right, and we just have time for one more person here. Ginger joins us with a question about nasturtiums. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to live in Homer, and I planted nasturtiums every year, and this will be the first time I'll be planting them in Ketchikan. I just bought some seeds, so what do I need to know about keeping them happy here?
Oh, gosh, I think they're just basically happy altogether. They do. I think nasturtiums do great here, and I would just plant them as usual, but once again in Ketchikan, if you're not used to gardening here, do keep in mind that rain is a real issue, and so you want to have great drainage no matter what you're planting, whether it be nasturtiums or peas or anything, carrots. Just make sure you have good drainage. That should be, and you should have a great garden of nasturtiums.
Great. Thank you. When is the best time to plant them?
Boy, that's a good question. I would look at the seed packet and see what it says. I think I won't plant mine for a while yet.
It's too cold now.
It's too cold.
Yeah, like April, May time is probably fine.
I would say that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
Good. Okay.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having this program for us.
All right, thank you. And we are out of time. Are there any last-minute things you wanted to add? As I put you on the spot there.
I just want to say happy gardening. It's just a wonderful thing to spend your time with.
Yeah, so just go out and wish everybody luck. Just grow.
Grow stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And next week we will have another call-in show on gardening as well. So get those questions together. We'll have more information coming up a bit later.